trend. And listen to this song. And if you like these kind of things, then you can sing along. Well, go and tell your mama and tell it to your pa. And every other mother. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's time to start the show.
We're having a plan.
Yeah. I think it's time to start the show.
We're having a plan. It's
a shirtless flagship show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is a very, very special edition. We are recording literally right after U.S. Women's National Team lost to Uruguay, who are the most successful team in Copa America. Let me add you to that. I am here with Mitch. I'm here with Tommy. Currently, the other guys are sleeping and they're being adults. I'm not. I am being a grown-ass bully, and I'm here to be the devil's advocate. Mitch, I love your facial hair, but the spotlight's on you. How you feeling today, buddy?
I feel like you brought me on just to bully me, and I'm not excited for the next hour of my life.
Well, you know, you're sandwiched between two Yoruba guys. Pause on that. Tell me, how you doing?
I'm good. I never like fully outright root for the U.S., but I always have like a couple players that I like. I watch and like I really enjoy. Like I've been number one Pulisic defender for a while. But yeah, this game was hilarious to me.
See, okay, before we start, I don't hate the U.S. men's national team. I dislike most of the fans because a lot of arrogance and a lot of people who talk like if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I hate that. There's so many casual people who talk like if they know what they're talking about. And it's like, listen, okay, I grew up in this system that you guys see from like you. Like, I know what happens here. So please, let's go, but we'll get into it, okay? First and foremost, Mitch, I need you to talk to me. That 90-something minutes, I know the ref was shit. We'll get into that. Outside of ref, what do you think? Talk to me.
Just straight performance? Bad. We played very, very, very bad. Like, we can... I will happily, later in this pod, point to the ref and point to Greg as scapegoats for this. But holy shit, did we look like we'd never played soccer before? We could not touch a ball in the box. Like it was not coming off anyone's boot at any point. We looked like we were learning how to play the game at certain points. This is probably the biggest U.S. men's national team game in like the last 10 years, and it was truly a pathetic performance. This is a time where, you know, backs against the wall, we had a chance to make quarterfinals, and we did not do that, and we didn't do it in almost impressive fashion because of just like how discombobulated it all looked.
Yeah. I think your internet went out for a second. It was just like USA's performance, but it's okay. It's fine. Toby, you talk to me. You watched that game. Talk to me. What do you think happened in that game?
It was like Mitch. I like everything Mitch said. I'm gonna second like everything Mitch said. I second that. But like the thing I picked out the most was there was just no cohesion. There was no sense of. It seemed like they didn't know what position they were playing, and like it was just bad football. Like there's no way to put it. There's no. Like most of the time, I'm fine with blaming Greg, and I'm fine with like all that. But today, cause with given what Greg had, I feel like he picked not the best, but like a decent enough lineup where they should have got the job done. But the product on the field was not there. It was not good. Like Mitch was saying, they couldn't bring the ball down. And I remember there was a nice passage to play. Everyone was just scared to shoot the ball. I think it was in the second half. It was just bad football, and the players all looked confused, and like they just looked confused and timid.
I'm gonna say this. I think that was the biggest cannonball shithouse masterclass you'll ever see. I think that a lot of U.S. fans don't understand that, you know, and I've said this and you guys know this about me. I think the two hardest places to qualify from World Cup to play football in is Africa and in South America, because they do the dirtiest, slimiest shit in the world and they do not care. They are shameless and they will literally dig deep, score a goal on you and will laugh at you because they do not care. And that is what Uruguay did today. They really dug deep, so much so that, like, it pissed U.S. players off. Like, there were so many different instances that, like, you could see that they are very street smart. In the first half, when they had that, when they took the free kick quickly, they were pissed. But listen, I know as a referee, it's down to the referee's discretion. If the referee really, really wanted to, he could have called it back. But you got to stay on your P's and Q's. Thank God for Tim Ream paying attention, because if Tim Ream wasn't paying attention, that would have been a goal. I also hate what that player did, because I hate when players chip, blast that ball into the back of the net. But that's neither here nor there. But Uruguay did an absolute shithouse masterclass. And I'm not the biggest fan of Manuel Gatte, but he showed today that he is a true shithouse masterclass. Like, that guy in the middle of the pitch, they did all the nasty things. They'll kick at you. They'll curse at you. They were literally rolling over, and they weren't even hurt most of the time. They were just doing shithouse things to waste time. Like, and when they got their goal, they're like, hey, listen, we're going to sit in deep because you have to come to tackle us. So, you know, it's unfortunate that you got a lesson in football of, like, what it is to be a shithouse team. And this is why I said that I love this Copa America for U.S. fans. I love this for the players, because you're playing against something you don't. And obviously, I think CONCACAF is up there, too, with the shithouse. But I think there's an extra special layer of nonsense when it comes to CONMEBOL. Like, they are absolute dirtbags, okay? And you know that, Mitch. You know that. You know, like, this is their thing. Like, the Argentina-Chile game was a perfect example of that. Just 88 minutes of a brawl. Like, they legit had four or five guys on Messi at one time. And they were like, I don't care if Di Maria touched, I don't care who touches the ball, as long as Messi doesn't touch the ball. But that's what they do. And I think that it's a growing lesson for not just the players and the fans, but the federations. Like, if you want to be a big team, you have to play against these nasty teams who do these things, because you're going to see this in the World Cup. You're going to see this whenever you, if you want to be part of the elite of the elite. And yeah, Uruguay's a small country, but they produce so many talented players. I mean, they got a guy who starts for Real Madrid, a guy who starts for Liverpool, a guy who starts for Barcelona, a guy who starts for Atletico Madrid who's on the bench. You have a guy who plays at Man United on loan. So these are some very, very talented players, who are also very shithouse players. But back to the U.S., I think that it's over for Greg, right? I think this is the time to talk about Greg.
Yeah.
It's over, right?
It should be over.
Here's the thing. It's not going to be. He's going to be on the fucking touchline in 2026. I truly believe that. And I hate that I'm saying that and believe that, because he shouldn't be. It's like, Mateus and I have talked a lot on the Soccer Edition about, like, what the expectations were for Copa America and what the expectations were for Greg. And getting grouped is fucking embarrassing. This is a tournament that we are hosting. And we, like, getting grouped is a failure, and a monumental one at that. I know that CONMEBOL teams are very good. I know that Uruguay is better than us. That does not change the fact that the U.S. should have made it out of this group no fucking problem. And I understand a red card against Panama made that harder, but it comes down to coaching when we're playing a game like this and we get two fucking shots on target, because this is a better team than that. Like, we know, we've seen evidence of the U.S. being a better team than that. It comes down to coaching. It should be Greg's head on a fucking silver platter. It won't be. It somehow fucking won't be. They're going – the U.S. Soccer Federation will somehow magically scapegoat no one. And it's going to be baffling. And I'm sorry, Tosin, you're going to have to deal with people saying Greg out in your mentions for the next 2 years. Until he stinks it up in a World Cup that we're fucking hosting. It's going to be embarrassing.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to say, the U.S. Federation is going to say, all right, we're going to take it back, we're going to review everything, and then they'll do a fake review, and they'll come out a week later like, yeah, we trust Greg, we think he's the person to move forward. And they're going to frame it as a way of, like, there's no one else out there. We can't get anyone. So, yeah, he's our best option. And that, it's, like, don't be cowards. Like, don't be cowards. Something about this sport, it doesn't reward cowardness. It absolutely doesn't. You have to be brave. And, like, you're hosting a World Cup. the next World Cup is the expanded World Cup, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's an expanded World Cup, so you're going to be facing a whole lot more different types of teams. If you go in there playing how you did today, it's not going to come out well. Like, Copa America, they should have made out this group, but, like, I don't want to say it's not as big as the World Cup. If you pull this performance in a World Cup, no, it's embarrassing. You can't. You have to have a good showing for yourself. So Greg has to go. Like, I don't, in my heart of hearts, I guess I'm still, like, thinking there's some sensible people in the U.S. Federation. So I'm thinking he'll be gone. Who would they replace him with? Would they replace him with someone better or just take a lateral step? I hope not, but he has to be gone. Like, I can't see any coach surviving this.
I have a take, and I know you guys might kill me for this. I think that there's a lot of overrated talented players on this team, and I think that a lot of the fans have high expectations because they play at these bigger teams. And again, I'm a big fan of these boys, right? Like, I don't want to say anything bad about them because I know how hard it is to be a professional football player. It's, you know, like I said, my brother's an ex-pro, my cousin's played in MLS, so I know it's a very hard thing to do. But I also think that there's a lot of lofty expectations on these players because of where they play, but the reality is not set into, like, reality. Like, no offense to Weston McKennie. Weston's not pulling any trees at Juventus. He's really not. Just a decent player. There's a reason why they went and got Douglas Luiz, right? There's a reason why they get another midfielder like Kevin Turan, because no offense to Weston, like, he should go to places where he can play week in and week out. I think a lot of these players need to go places where they can play week in and week out at the highest level where they can play week in and week out. But yeah, I mean, it's just a very interesting thing watching this team because there is talent on this roster. Absolutely. There's a lot of talented players, but I don't know. Like, it feels like there's something missing in this squad, like, profile-wise.
I agree. Like, they, like, the U.S. fans, they do loft all these expectations on their players because, like, they see, oh, he's at so-and-so club. This is a heritage club. But I push back a little and saying, like you said, they are solid. Like, that midfield, in my eyes, I think that's a very, like, solid. I would say that's a good midfield. I enjoy Tyler Adams a lot. I think Tyler Adams is one of the, like, he's one fit, one healthy.
One second. Dean would not want you to say that, by the way, but that's neither here nor there.
Listen, Dean's opinion on some players I push back on, but Tyler Adams is good. Yunus Musa, he doesn't play week in and week out at AC Milan, but I still think that's a good player there. And Weston McKennie, the other two are better, but like you say, he's still a solid player. Like, he's at Juventus for a reason. He got a Premier League move for a reason. Like, they're players there for a reason. Christian Pulisic balled out at AC Milan. Gio Reyna, his club issues, it's his own thing. But when he puts on that U.S. jersey, he plays exceptionally well, like, 7 times out of 10. And Anton Robinson, one of the better left backs in the Premier League. So these are players who they might not be at the very top, but they are good. I would consider them like above average and good players. So I do agree with you. Like, there is a lot of overrated talent. Like, I still think the U.S. I don't say a striker problem, but I don't believe in Balogun as, like, the long term option. That's my hot take. It's not that he's not good, but I don't rate him as highly as other people do. So I do think there is a bunch of overrated players there, but you have to be able to maximize the talent you have, and there is talent there. And that's what I don't think Greg is doing right now. I truly don't think he's maximizing the amount of talent that's actually on this team. And injuries have been affecting them, like the suspension for Team Wea 2. I get that. But you should be able to bring in, like, you should be able to, like, this, because the attacking options the U.S. have, they're not bad. Yeah. I feel like you should be able to maximize that talent.
Mitch, you have any pushback on that?
Yeah, I think that I do want to push back on your comment, because I think that U.S. fans, like all fans, overrate their players a little bit. I think that's normal thing to do, whether it's your national team, your club team, whatever, you're going to overrate. Like, I was watching Arsenal in eighth place and thinking, why aren't any of these Arsenal players in the team of the season? Because this is the team I watched the most and was like, oh, Aubameyang's been one of the best players in the league. Like, you always overrate your own players and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's normal for fans to do and stuff like that. But I don't think that the U.S. is a bad roster by any means. Like, I think that the progress that we've shown in terms of having players playing at top five clubs across Europe and having players be important players at top five clubs across Europe. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. My Wi-Fi.
You know what it
says? It's fine.
You know what it is?
What? It is.
Greg hacked into your thing, and it's okay.
Yeah,
Greg saw the anti-Greg propaganda.
Greg saw your tweets, and Greg was like, "I'm not having Mitch talk today." Nah, but it's fine. Listen, I understand what you're saying, man. I think that when you're very passionate about your national team, when you're very passionate about what you want, like, you're gonna feel a type of way, and I understand that. You know, it does happen. You know, it does happen when you really love something. So I get it. I just feel like it's such a frustrating time to be a U.S. Women's National Team fan because you're literally right at that cusp where, like, you're going from, like, you know, this place of being just like decent to now you want to be one of the elite, and it's frustrating when you feel like they're not making the right decisions in the federation, type of thing, right, Mitch?
Yeah, 100%. Because it felt like with the eve of this huge cycle for us of being in Copa America and then hosting a World Cup, it felt like such a massive opportunity, and it felt like such a let down to have this big long coaching search and end up with the same fucking guy who has not done anything outside of just CONCACAF as a national team coach. He didn't do anything as a club coach. He hasn't done anything other than against CONCACAF teams as a U.S. coach. And we ended up with the same guy. And I do think the players deserve a little bit of blame for this. They like fought for Greg to be rehired. And I think that they deserve blame for this. They wanted their buddy, basically. There's just nepotism running rampant from top to bottom in U.S. soccer, whether it's like the top guys who love Greg Berhalter and the players that love Greg Berhalter, because it's just like one of their buddies. And that's not what you want out of a coach, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think that we should get into some of the questions. I think that these questions are going to set up a lot of like things we could talk about. So shout out to everybody for asking questions. I'm going to try and get to literally every single one of these questions because I'm excited to see what everybody is like when asking, because this is great. One second. Let me go through the questions. Ooh, we got a lot of these questions. Jesse, this is from you, Mitch. She says, Mitch is about to let the chopper fly. How concerned should the U.S. Men's National Team be for 2026? I think Mitch froze again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I heard part of the first question. Luckily, though, I did see this question on Twitter because Jesse tagged me in it. So give me 1 second. how concerned should we be for 2026? Very, if Greg is still the coach, is the answer.
The long and short of it?
Yeah.
Okay. X the Exiled asks, and this is for you, Tommy. Who's a bigger criminal, Christian Pulisic or Scott McTominay?
Oh, don't you even get me started. Listen, the evil I've seen Scott McTominay do in my midfield since wait, when did he make his debut?
2017.
27, bro, oh my, I was in college, waking up mad early after labs, doing after a week of just stressful, waking up to watch Scott McTominay destroy my mental health. No, Scott McTominay was in Boko Haram. I promise you.
That's not nice. But to answer, I'll answer his question. I think that neither one of them are terrorists. I think they both do their own individual thing, and I'm here for peace. And that's my political answer.
Bro, I'm pro Pulisic. Pulisic, respect him.
Let's see. We got more questions. We have a lot of questions today, and I'm very happy. England USA decided to do a manager swap. Who's better off? I'm going to answer this. Neither. Because USA Correct. And England are the same person. The only difference is they spell color with a U, and we don't. That's the only difference.
England is USA. Who's speaking italics? That's what it is.
You said they're what?
England is just the USA and they speak in italics. That's the only separation.
You guys are very mean. You know that? You guys are very, very mean. Very mean people. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to have a special guest come on soon. And I'm not going to tell you who. But we're going to have a special guest coming through. Because this is what we're doing. We're doing whatever we want today. And we're going to talk about U.S. national team. We're going to have two guests, actually.
Also, can we, like, that was offsides, right? Like,
That was...
Okay, I was about to say, like, I get, it's cool to laugh at the U.S. because I've been laughing at the memes. But that was so offsides. I'm like... Bro, and then when they zoomed in on the lines, I'm like, you guys are literally just guessing because Chris Richards' foot is not even.
No, that was offside. That was absolutely offside. Uruguay didn't play that well, but they did the shithouse masterclass. An angry mob said, "Is Christian Pulisic dash Daniel Sturridge without swag?" That doesn't even make any sense because they don't play the same position
at all.
And Christian Pulisic doesn't have a dangly earring and taco meat on his chest. On TV.
Yuck.
So no, they're not the same person at all. Let's see. Realistic dream options if US manager decides to make a change. Mitch, do you have any coaches you want?
Obviously Jurgen Klopp, but I don't think that's realistic.
I saw someone say he managed Iran in the last World Cup.
Carlos Queiroz?
No.
You're talking about. I think you're talking about Herb Bernard, who was the Saudi Arabia Bernard, coach.
That's his name. Yeah.
I believe he's with the French women right now. Unless
he's leaving. He's leaving at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's I saw someone main and like that's a bit of like the hipster take, but I think if the U.S. was able to do that, I go for it.
I have a list.
I would fully get behind that.
Would you guys like to hear my list?
What's your list, Tozen? I would love to hear your list.
Oh, look, Matthias. How you doing?
Hi, Matthias.
Great. I love having people coming through and just crashing the buildings. Matthias, talk to us. How do you feel? We're answering questions right now, and we're just off the wall today. So go ahead, Matthias. Talk to us. How do you feel?
Okay. I'm chilling, man. Like, I don't... That kind of went how I expected it to go. Like, being dead ass.
It feels like, honestly, like you're getting your, what's it called? It feels like you got your ass beat and you're just tired.
Yeah, man. Like, we didn't get any shots on target. The ref fucking sucked. That's really all the fucking thoughts I have. Like, I'm not even tripping over, like, did we play well? Did we play like shit? I think Greg should go. I think that whoever we hire after him probably won't even be better. But like, you can't take like the apathy from this. You can't
look. We got more guests.
That's kind of
Gabby. How you doing today? We're just talking to Matthias. He just joined as well. We're having a nice little therapy session. You talk to us. How do you feel?
I fucking hate my life. Like, I hate it here. I like my head is hot.
Wait, Tosin, you know what this reminds me of? I think I sent you a voicemail as soon as it happened. When Uzoho let in that goal against Ghana and we didn't qualify for the World Cup, this is exactly what it reminds me of. Because I said those same exact sentiments. I said, that's it. I fucking hate this. I'm done. I give up. I'm walking away from the sport.
Do you know what makes me so happy? I've been broken in my heart since I was 10 years old. And I just love seeing people just like, you know, I'm so glad that people can still feel things. I've been broken since Cameroon beat Nigeria in 2000 and I like cried my nine-year-old eyes out. So it's nice for me to see other people still feel pain for the national team because I'm numb. Nigeria stinks. And look what I'm wearing. I'm wearing Nigeria tech fleece. And I'm just enjoying. I'm glad I can be a facilitator of therapy and hope for, you know, my fellow Americans here. So listen, it's terrible. But one thing I was saying, we're talking about, because we had a lot of questions. I was talking about the potential coaches, and I broke it down into like two categories, right? There's a bunch of Americans. So I said Pellegrino Matarazzo, David Wagner, Jim Curtin, BJ Callen, or Steve Cherundolo, if you want to go American. If you want to go foreign, Edin Terzic, Niko Kovac, David Moyes, Gallardo, Sampaio.
We're not hiring.
Oh, I know you're not. Matthias, I already know you're not going to, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just being optimistic because this has nothing to do with me. I'm just here just to laugh because my national team sucks. We're not even going to the World Cup in 2026, and I don't even care. So here we are. Let's get back to the questions, though. Gabby, talk to us. You tell me, how do you feel about the game that you saw that went down?
That was, first and foremost, that was the worst refereeing, like, game I've ever seen in my life. Like, horrendous. And we watch the Premier League every week, so that's saying something. I don't know what that ref was doing. I said in my group chat that there's no way that was incompetence. That had to be match fixing. Like, you can't pull out a yellow card and then say play on at the same time. That's just crazy. Absurd. I don't know what I was watching. I was thinking in my head that this referee is going to get players hurt, but he already got two players hurt and they came off. So it just is what it is. I don't know. It's funny that Tommy said that he was thinking about his national team not making the World Cup, because that's all I could think about. That the feeling in my stomach was, this reminds me of the Trinidad and Tobago game, and all I could think about was, I know we're not going to score. I just know we're not going to score. It's just, it's over. It was done before, like, we conceded.
Yeah, despair is a crazy place to be, because I'm over here. Go ahead, Mitch. Go ahead.
I will say that we got like an ounce of hope when Panama equalized when it was still 0-0. But I just want to say that Greg, right before the free kick, motioning, hey, it's 1-1 to the guys right before they fucking kick in a free kick, was some of the stupidest shit I've ever seen, ever. Like, I knew we were going to fucking concede. I just fucking knew it. I don't think it's a bad thing to tell them what's going on in the other game. I don't think that's inherently bad. I think that telling them right as they're about to defend a free kick, that, like, an attacking free kick, not just like a fuck off one on the other side of the field, like one you were lining up for, telling them, hey guys, good news, we can just draw the game, is unbelievably stupid. And I was not shocked at all when it went in. I was like, yep, that seems about right. You are a fucking moron, Greg Berhalter. I hope you never coach soccer again. Fucking embarrassing.
We hate that bald bitch in this house, so.
Is that
we
main hate that added?
Bald bitch.
Bro, he's so bald. It's off-putting.
There's a cut into Greg, like the 93rd, 94th minute. You can see him rubbing his head. I think that he knew that he's cooked. I think that I think in my head, like, that was the first time I can generally say, like, I think Greg knows he's cooked. I think, but
I was gonna say that the press conference.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, he got some questions for some people. He got some questions from World Soccer Talk. It's a bit of a rag, low key, but like. It's like, you better win this game. Or like Christian Pulisic, they asked, like, how would you feel, you know, you backed this coach when he got hired again. How do you feel letting him down if you guys lose this game? He's just kind of like, smiling. He's like,
he looked into the abyss. You know, like, he just knew that they were going to win it. Like, I was like, yeah.
Well, like, I thought, people saying he looked freaked out. I don't think he looked freaked out, but I think he was like, that could happen.
I have a question from ThombBomb86. I'm going to answer this one because this is very close to home. How are Greg Berhalter and Southgate the same? Well, because they were decent players who played in the national team and didn't really do much as coaches. That's how they're the same. How are they different? Well, one's bald and one isn't. But they're different because they have different accents. Other than that, they are literally the same thing. It is... You know, what did the wire say again? Do you spike with some procaine? Same shit. That's all it really is. That's
different packaging.
Different packaging. It's just the same thing. You know, one drives on the left side, one drives on the right side. It's still the same thing, man. They're selling the same mid. It just is what it is.
Didn't Greg say a few weeks ago that like Southgate was like his mentor or something
Yeah, bro, I saw that. He said he went to Southgate for advice or something after something.
I mean,
he said that during the World Cup.
I mean, there's a song made by a nasty man who's in prison with Usher, and I wouldn't say it, but you guys know that song, so I'm gonna leave that there. MG_2016 said, "What would you be willing to endure as a U.S. men's national team supporter to never have to suffer the current roster of American on-air talent?" Hey, that's not nice. Okay, we don't talk about our journalists on air. Okay. But go ahead. You guys.
I mean, Fox made us watch 90 minutes of that. And then they're like, you know what all these nice viewers would like to see? They would love for all of them, they would all love to hear Alexi Lawless and Carly Lloyd just say nonsense. That's what all of them would feel better about. And that's what they throw to immediately after the full time, which is, I think, a form of torture. I think that's against the Geneva Convention to, like, watch that game.
With Alexi Lawless, I don't – he – I cannot fathom how you guys don't see, like, the people at Fox, whoever hired him. Do you listen? Do you not listen to what we hear? What are you doing? Get him. It's sick.
It's very on brand for Fox. So that's all I'm going to say about
that.
Yeah. Like I was, you know, whenever I can discernment, I've been watching the Brazilian feed, like Brazilian TV channels or whatever, through my, you know, pirate streams or whatever bullshit I'm using. But like, it's shocking how coherent and like well thought out and like deliberate and tactical like their like post games are. And I'm like, we really got to suffer. Like, it's usually with some like nerd guys. It's not with like former players typically. It's like, we really got to suffer through this, through like talking heads, through fucking Alexi Lawless saying whatever the fuck he wants to get a rise out of anybody. And everyone's like has too much of a room temperature IQ to say anything differently. Like, except for Clint, who rolls his eyes. God bless him. Listen,
as somebody who's worked in this football industry before, I think we should all be friends. That's all I want to say.
I know you can't say it, but I'm gonna say I need CBS to stop being broke boys and buy that fucking and rip those fucking rights away from them.
I am not involved in any of this, okay? To anybody, my talent agents, anybody, I am not involved. Like, okay.
The thoughts.
Dozen's legally not involved in this conversation.
The thoughts of four members on here does not represent Dozen.
It does not represent me, my lawyers, or any of my just any of my constituents. Okay, it does not represent me. This is not a representation of all of us.
His lawyers or his cousins. Don't listen to me.
Big Chicken Jr. asks, is Felarian Balogun's father going to pull up to the facility with a belt and sandal that has Greg Berhalter's name on it? I think his dad is too busy listening to Fuji music. He listened to Barista.
I'm about to say, man.
You said what?
His dad's over there making a ba and a goosey to worry about that.
Yeah.
I feel like once Nigerian dads, once you check out of representing Nigeria, they're just, it's passive support now.
Yeah. His dad don't care, man. If you're not the super ego, I don't care.
Exactly.
We don't care.
You could have been Kanu.
Yeah, that's doesn't care. Niles B. Brown asks, assuming this is the catalyst for change in the U.S. men's national team, what are some of the next steps to prepare for 2026? Gabby, I'm going to toss this one to you.
Bold of you to assume this is the catalyst of change. I don't, like, we already talked about how, you know, there are some names that we could go to, you know, for like, manager-wise. I think that's the thing, first thing you start with, manager-wise. I have been gaslit many a time by my friends and colleagues, Amani, if you're listening to this, I'm talking to you, about how the U.S. player pool is just not good enough to get to where they need to get to. I started watching football in 2014. Okay, that 2014 World Cup in Brazil is very special to me. That team was not better than this team. We had that second ball bitch, Michael Bradley, I call him Caillou, in the midfield with fake dreadhead Kyle Beckerman. That team was not better than this team talent-wise, but they made it out of a group of death. Do you see this team making out of a group of death?
Do you know what,
I sure don't.
The difference is, though, between those guys and this guys, those guys are real men. Like, real.
Yeah, they got some dogs in them.
I was about to say, like, Kyle Beckerman, he may have been light-skinned with spray-on dreads.
He's not light-skinned. He's a white man.
He's fully a white guy.
Period. No, he's just a white man.
Hey, those dreads are real.
No, that was a white man.
That was a white man. Full blooded.
Kyle Beckerman.
It's the shock on his face for me.
Kyle Beckerman is from Crofton, Maryland. Okay.
He's from Crofton?
He's from Crofton, Maryland.
I bought a Crofton like every Saturday.
This is brand new information. Listen, but you're right.
I thought he was like
Before you finish, he went to DeMatha High School, okay? And he graduated from Arundel High School, okay? That
bro, when I was in high school, my coach's son used to coach DeMatha. So we used to scrimmage them every preseason. That's right there. This man, I promise you, I thought he was just like a very light.
No. He's a white man.
His name is Kyle Beckerman.
Marylanders, you hear some. No, that's crazy. Damn. And I rooted for him against Ghana. That's crazy. I feel good.
I'm going to let you sit with that for a while. But you're right. They don't have any dogs in them. Like, there's no player like Clint Dempsey on our team right now. And I feel like the U.S. propaganda train right now is trying to tell me that Kristen Pulisic or Weston McKennie or Tyler Adams or whoever could be that for us, and they're not. It's not about the player pool for me. It's about the mentality. You can't teach that. You can't teach somebody how to be a dog. You just are. You aren't. You start with the coach and then go from there. That's all I have to say because I don't know what else to tell you.
Matthias, you had a point.
Yeah, like these guys, I think they have a lot of desire. I think they have a lot of fight, and I think it manifests not in calm, not in like let's slow things down and like play the ball. It manifests in anxiety. You see, like Pulisic, like at the last seconds of the game, I know he's fucking exhausted, but he's like missing passes by like 20 yards, just playing it wherever. Tyler Adams, like I said during the podcast last week, running into people all the time. Weston McKennie looking slow on the sidelines. Like I think these guys like tire themselves out. They just overthink it. They're so stressed out. Get in the games, they're gassed. And during the games, they're misplaying the ball because they're too high strung. Like, I just think they don't have that composure, really. It's a thing. It's not even desire. It's the composure to, like, handle that desire.
I got one more. There's a lot of questions, and I really want to get through them all. Mick McCallie, 18, said, I mean, they're not firing Greg, let's be real, which means he's managing 26, which means his guys, that's Ross in the style, are what we are rolling the World Cup. Did we just watch what happened in 2 years? I'm going to answer this for you. Probably. Who oversees the referees for this competition? How quickly will Ortega be fired? This is what Gingers for Hall said. The person who oversees this is bald because his name is Gianni Infantino. You know, he's the head of FIFA. Ugh. So, again, we got to get rid of bald men. I think that's really...
Well,
yeah.
There's about a million layers of corruption in common ball between him and
you know. There's a lot of trust bald me on people. That one. Thomas Manfredi, I'm going to block you for asking this question, okay? What if America's best athletes play soccer? What if I blocked you? What if I blocked you? How about that? How would you feel
about that? What if you shut the fuck up? Have you thought about that?
What if you made soccer a poor man's sport again in America?
Peter Gill, too, asks, I have a question. How do you deal with the pain? Here you go. Tequila.
I'm about to say, you know, you
right
take
here.
The walk. You
right here, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
You take a walk, man.
Someone asked, we should hire Klopp. First of all, have you seen this man on Instagram? Jurgen Klopp has his toes out.
Bro. In Jurgen Klopp's head, he's on Love Island. That man is just doing whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp is not coming back to coach ever again. I think that man is physically done. I think... He gang impressed himself out of coaching. I don't think he wants to coach ever again. So that's just not going to happen. Klopp is done with coaching, I think. Do you guys think Johnny Carr can defend on why Greg shouldn't be fired? Well, he's dead, so that can't happen, okay? Wow, this is very, very mean. I don't even think this is a question. I think this is just more so lashing out, and I'm going to read this for you bar for bar from Sir George 8718 with two underscores in it. U.S. men's national team are a joke and a fat failure. He puts ellipsis at the end. Someone go back in time and tell Tony Meola, Tab Ramos, Marcelo Balboa, Kobe Jones, and others from the 94 team. U.S. men's national team have established nothing but embarrassments in the future. Well, that's...
Damn, see, let's get all the way negative today.
We're going to get negative.
He started name dropping old players, but like the ellipsis already told me how old this guy is. I already know you're Gen X, dude. Come on. You don't have to name Marcelo Balboa for me to know that you're Gen X. Come on.
Rose City Joe says, is it too late to get Jose Mourinho out of his Fenerbahce contract?
I think he's the dictator of Turkey now. So I don't think we can do that.
Like that man's one like bad referee decision away from bringing back the Ottoman Empire. Like he's
Let me see. Oh yeah, we have a lot. We have a lot more questions. Let me see. I know there's one more that I want to ask because there's just so much. Jesus, thank you guys so much for these questions. I can't get to them all because I can't read. Unfortunately for everybody.
That's that Baltimore education. I'm telling
people. I went to private school. Shut up.
In Baltimore. I told you it's that lab education.
Okay. I'm gonna answer that one last one. And I will answer this one because this one is very personal and close to home, and I will do this one because I'm old. What exactly is wrong with West Men's National Team because it can't be the manager at this point? Well, I'm gonna pull something out. These are medals for winning nationals, and that's what I did with my life. Basically, there's a lot of nepotism from youth soccer from all the way up, right? I grew up with a younger brother who played on arguably the best youth team in the country. They won 3 or 4 youth nationals, and I remember when they were like 11 years old, they won U12 State Cup. They beat this team 12-0. Joe Jow was on that team who played for Dortmund. Klopp gave him his debut. And I remember a mom on the sidelines said, well, this is what happens when you bring a bunch of kids from Africa to come and play. Mind you, everybody was born in America except for my brother who was born in London and one other kid was born in Mali. So point of reason I'm trying to say is this, that there's been a lot of bullshit in this system from young, right? So as these kids get older, you now start to have them get into these jobs and positions, and they have all these biases and they have all these bullshits. So long story short, there's a lot of nasty nepotism that goes on in this system from younger and from whatever. And it's fucked up. And you're now starting to see now like that everyone is into this sport now, but there's still a lot of just nasty decisions that's made from the top down. And it's fucked up that like a lot of kids are being priced out of the system, and it's unfortunate. I also think that US are now in this place where they're now starting to realize that, you know, everyone else is good. Like, you can't bully other teams. You're playing against a Uruguay team who doesn't really give a fuck about you because, you know, they're bullies themselves. You know, they give you a 95-minute masterclass on how to be shithouse and how to be dickheads. That's literally what Uruguay did today. They showed you that, listen, we don't care to play the sport right now. We are just going to sit here and just be assholes. So I think that you're getting a lesson, a hard lesson, especially as US fans, that, like, there's other countries who play this sport at a really high level. There's other countries who are really, really good. And there's a lot of stuff to fix in-house. So you're now starting to play against the best of the best, and you're starting to see, like, they don't care about, you know, you, and they don't care about, like, you know, what you have to say. They don't care about your talent, and that's just who they are. But, yeah, it's just a lot of nonsense. But it's a very talented generation. I think that if they can get it right, you know, with Matt Crockett, and now I think that's the new guy who's, like, in charge of everything. I think if Matt can get it right, there's a lot of talent, there's a lot of potential. But I think you also need to temper expectations because it's going to be very rough these next 2 years. And Godspeed and
God. Also, as someone who's like you said, I'm currently in the system. Yeah. I also played, like, I played club, I played travel. My little brother plays club and travel. Like, I coach, and I'm currently in the system. Like, the team I was coaching this year, they just finished number one in the whole country. What he said is true, but I want to touch on the pricing kids out. The amount of times I've heard kids say, or like kids have even told me, yeah, it's too expensive. My mom can't afford it. And it's not like these are like, for like lack of a better word, underprivileged kids. Truly, it's like, you know, regular kids who are like, yeah, it's just too expensive. Like, turn in a sport that was founded on this basis by low class people, by just people who had limited resources and said they needed a game to play. Turn it into like for a country club sport. That's gonna kill whatever growth that the U.S. was set, like guys like the Kobe Jones, the Marcus Beasley, all the trends they set, turn into a country club sport it's gonna kill it. And you can see you follow the money up the ladder, nepotism, corruption. It's what's gonna break this infrastructure before it can be built, and it's very annoying to see.
Yeah, it's frustrating as shit. Do you guys have anything else you guys want to add before we get out of here? Because I know it's a late night, and thank you guys so much for coming on, because it's been great talking to you guys. You guys have anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I truly think I was... I truly think that was one of the most unprofessional ref performances I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, five or six moments throughout the entire match that were just truly baffling to watch. I don't think he was offside. I truly don't understand the yellow card to playing advantage kind of thing. The handball to not playing advantage. Tyler Adams got stepped on and got a yellow card for it.
Yo, I saw that.
Baffling.
Yeah, that was not good. Gab, you got anything you want to add, Matthias?
I said fuck Mr. 3Gs and fuck U.S. Soccer for wasting my time. And fuck you guys for the next 2 years because I blocked you on Twitter already. I don't want to hear from you guys again, at least for a year. Somebody tell me if Greg gets fired. That's all I care about.
Hey, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's what I think. That's just how it's going
to be. I'm just glad I could facilitate this therapy session because I like to be a good friend and help my friends out and let them let them vent, let them be cathartic. And this has been helpful for me because it lets me know that as someone who's deeply broken inside, there's people who genuinely care about their national teams. And I'm so happy that not everybody's broken like me. So thank you guys so much for your time. This has been great. Once again, this is Tosin. I hosted this therapy session with my friends, and I appreciate them once again. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are out. Thank you, everyone. Take it easy. Peace.
Shirtless Flag Set Show.